Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
This morning, I want to preach from the subject of faith. God is already speaking today, and I believe that he's already working in hearts about things that you might have thought were impossible when you came in here. But I believe that as the word goes forth this morning, as I preach and as I just read scripture, that God is going to unlock something in you that has just stayed so secure, something that you maybe don't want to talk about, something that happened or that you wish never happened, that you kind of have thought for, I don't know, maybe just recently, maybe years, that it would stay that way forever. God wants to give you faith this morning to get past it. And I love singing about the faithfulness of God. He's faithful to us no matter what, but he invites us into relationship by stepping out in faith, by being obedient. Are you ready this morning? Yeah. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read a famous passage of scripture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. Even though life changes, even though politics change, even though the world changes every single day, God, you don't. People change and people fail us, but your word, God, has stayed the same since the beginning of time. And we turn to your word this morning, God, and we ask that you would speak to us. Father, if there are things that we have left just unfixed, if there's things that we have not wanted to deal with, that there's things that we just buried deep down, I pray in Jesus' name that as your word goes forth, that you would shine a light on those things. Father, I ask that you would deposit faith in every man and every woman within the sound of my voice, that today, God, Father's Day 2017, we would realize that we have the power to partner with you and step out in faith and see things changed. So whatever it is, God, relationships, finances, families, work stuff, God, we just declare in Jesus' name that it's not too big for you. And we declare, Father, that you care. So God, give us a deposit of faith this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews is an interesting letter. It's actually an authorless letter as far as we know. A lot of people think Paul wrote it because he wrote a bunch of the New Testament. Some people think Barnabas, the encourager, wrote it, or Luke, the doctor. Some people even think Priscilla, who is a woman and one of Paul's mentors, wrote this letter. We don't know where it came from, but we do know that its whole thesis, if the whole book could be summed up in one sentence, It could be that Jesus is better than blank. There's arguments presented why Jesus is better than the angels, why Jesus is better than our own way of doing things, why turning to Jesus is better than laws and traditions. And there's brilliant argument after argument presented to us in the book of Hebrews about why everything we read in the Bible comes to its full completion in the person of Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 11, we come to the idea of faith. And how faith isn't something for the 10, 20, 30-year Christian. It's something for everybody. Amen? So in Hebrews 11, verse 1, this is what it says. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of what is not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe, everything around us, was created by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of that which is visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than his brother Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks to us today. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Now, this next verse you'll want to circle, verse 6. Put a star next to it. This will be an important one for you to come back to. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe two things. First, that he exists. And second, that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, he constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with his sons Isaac and Jacob. They were heirs with him in the same promise. For Abraham was looking forward to the city that has its foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And by faith, Sarah, his wife herself, received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the grains of sand by the seashore. Everybody say faith. This scripture talks about what theologians call the Hall of Faith. I don't know if you've been to Cleveland and seen like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, or like Cooperstown, seen the Baseball Hall of Fame, or even been to Toronto, seen the Hockey Hall of Fame. In this scripture, theologians call it the Hall of Faith, because even further than what we just read, there's men and women who did unbelievable things for God, like unbelievable. It even goes on to say, I can't even name them. Some shut the mouths of lions. Some were killed before their time, but all these people the world wasn't worthy of because of what they accomplished. I mean, I want that to be me. The Bible says that they did everything that they mention in there, all through faith. Everybody say faith. And I picture it like walking down a hallway and you see Adam. And you see the beginning of time and how this one man believed in God, and that God would bring him a wife, and how eventually he got a wife and they started a family, and then his son next to him. You would see Abel and how Abel presented the sacrifice to God. And then even further, it says there's a guy named Enoch who literally had the sweetest life ever. He was born, lived a bit, and God was like, you're my favorite, and just yanks him out of the world. I mean, I don't know, but it happened. And later, and it goes on to say that there was a woman named Rahab who, though she was a prostitute, someone we might count out at first sight, she saved two Israeli spies who were part of God's people. And she had that scarlet cord that she let out of her window. I see that right under her picture. And in the Hall of Faith, if we're not careful, we see these people as different from ourselves. We see them as like, man, if I could only be like that, instead of realizing that that common thread of faith is available to us today. Has anybody been to Canada's Wonderland once or twice or ever? Yeah? Any crazy roller coaster people? Awesome. I went last summer with the Tapleys, and they go all out. They're a crazy roller coaster family. If you ever wondered, you know, something's off there, roller coasters, you know? No, I'm just kidding. We had fun. She actually... Pastor Matt and Lisa forced us to go on the Leviathan and the Behemoth, which are crazy rides, aptly named after demons, I guess. But anyways, we conquered in the name of Jesus, and we were in line. And if you're in line for roller coasters, you always see a few different things without fail. You see like the really bulky, strong dude who's like ready to show how he's going to conquer this. And the closer he gets, he has like a magical phone call that he just has to answer. And he's like, sorry, guys, you do this child's play. I'm going to go make money or something. You know what's up. You know he's just totally chicken. You see young boys that are ready to go, like this was the day that the Lord has made. And they're going to become men. And they've stuffed like extra soles in their shoes. And they're ready to go for it. And then you always see at the front of the line where there's that marker with like all the... a height marker. That's what I'm going to call it this service. I couldn't figure it out last time. There's like a height marker and you have to stand next to it. And there's always those boys who are holding tears back because they really wanted to show dad this was the day. And they're just too short by like that much. If I worked on those rides, I'd be like, you go on, you go on. Don't sue me. I'll get them like signed something extra. But like these boys really just want to go, but they can't because there's something beyond their circumstances that block them. And I think a lot of time we see faith like that. We see faith like, if you just don't have it, you just don't have it. Some people have it. I mean, that guy who sits on the front row and like has 10 journals with him, like fills up a journal every message, and you know he's like super holy, brings his own like anointed oil and a shofar. Like that dude has got faith. But me, I mean, I work at Walmart. I restock shelves. I told one guy about Jesus once, only because I stubbed my toe and I said it at the wrong time, and then I had to backtrack. You know, sometimes we think that faith is what some people have, but not everybody. But the Bible says that every human, every person in this room, every man, every woman that is listening to me right now can have faith. But what is faith? A.W. Tozer in The Pursuit of God, which is an amazing book. You should check it out. He says that faith is the unbroken gaze of the soul on a saving God. Faith is where your heart, where your soul is directed. He explains it by telling that story in Numbers. Have you read the Old Testament? You're like, man, that is the weirdest story ever. I don't even know if I believe in that. It's just so awkward and whatever. Like in Numbers, there's a story about how the Israelites disobeyed God. And God didn't just like slap them on the wrist. He's like, I know. What do all humans hate? Snakes, right? Any snake lovers? No, two of you. Okay, so we'll pray right here, Pastor Ruth, for all the snake lovers afterwards. He's like, man, snakes. And the camp of Israel wakes up the next day, and the Bible says fiery serpents just went throughout all the tents and just like, just bit all the children of Israel. And then, not just the children, but like the children was the family of Israel. bit. I was like, I gotta clarify, it's not just like a story about snakes biting kids. No, snakes went through and like bit the God's people. And then they repented. They said, oh my gosh, we have disobeyed God. We need to fix this. And God says, okay, Moses, set a bronze serpent in front of the camp of Israel. And when they look at it, they'll be healed. Crazy story. You can't make this stuff up unless you're God. And you can ask him when you get there. And Jesus refers back to that story when he's talking to a bunch of people in the New Testament, Pharisees and people that wanted to hear his teachings. He says the same thing. He says, remember Moses, how he built that bronze serpent? He says, in the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. So A.W. Tozer says that if we were going to put one plus one together, we would see that believing and looking upon are the same thing. Just like they looked at that bronze serpent to be healed of their venomous snake bites, in the New Testament, we look at Jesus and we believe in the power that is in that name, just like we sang this morning. We believe in what God is able to do, we'll be saved. Looking and believing are the same thing. So my first question to you this morning is, where are you looking? What's the direction, the gaze of your soul? Where is it? Like not right now. I know you're looking at me right now. But where in your life are you looking? Write that down. Ask yourself that question. Be honest with yourself. Because the direction of your life will either decide whether you are able to operate in faith right now or whether you are choosing to operate in fear right now. You can't do both at the same time. You're either looking at the saving power of Jesus Christ or you're looking at anything or everything else, and that will only end up in fear. Wow, that's good. So where are you looking? Christianity, people think is crazy. And I mean, you read a story like that, you're like, yeah, those people are weird. But rightfully so, because we claim something that not a lot of other religions believe. We claim that you, right now, can find God. That anyone, anywhere, you don't have to be in church, you don't have to be in a confession booth, you don't have to get this plus this plus this, that if anyone would change the direction of their soul and look upon Christ, he would actually find God. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God, because the reward of faith is finding God. God looks at you and he looks at you in love wherever you are this morning. But if there's one thing God wants, it's to be with you. It's to be in relationship with you. He actually, I'll say this without reserve or regret, he wants to heal you. God wants to bless you. God wants to fill you with his love and his mercy and compassion. But we need faith so we get from here to a place where we find God. So we get to where, from where we've been standing still to a place where we walk with God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, because he's not happy until he's with you. And sometimes we treat God like he's up there having an awesome house party in heaven, and maybe if one more came, there'd be room. It wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. But in reality, he's holding the door openings open, saying, hey, we got room for one more. Come on, come on. We're waiting for you. I know it's going to take you a minute, but just have faith and step forward. He's not happy until he's with you. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, because what pleases him is being with you. Does that make sense? So this morning, I want to encourage somebody. I want to encourage everybody to know that you can operate in faith wherever you are. Even if you're thinking, man, it's been a while since I believed. I mean, you don't know my family situation. You're right, I don't. But I do know that nothing is outside of the reach of a loving God. Isaiah 55 says that his arm isn't so short that he can't reach into the furthest situation. That his eyes aren't so dull that it just like looks milky when he sees you and everything looks the same. He doesn't understand it. His ears aren't so deaf that he can't hear every cry that you usher up to heaven at night. God sees you, God loves you, and he wants to bless you. But this morning he's saying, step out in faith. Yeah. And it might not be comfortable. It might not be pleasing. And it definitely won't be easy. But he's saying, if you'll step out in faith, who knows what I could do? Who knows what God could do? So I want to read two stories within the time that we have, that one from the Old Testament, one from the New. Then we're going to pray for a download of faith within this room. But I want you to just ask God where you are, to open the eyes of your heart to see the truth that is found in his word. I can preach all I want, but as the Bible is read and as it's proclaimed, I want you to just open yourself up to say, God, whatever you have is exactly what I want to receive this morning. So if you have your Bibles or your YouVersion app or whatever, go to Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to read about Abraham, who we just saw in the hall of faith. Abraham was the man. I love that dude. Bible says he was loaded. I want to be like Abraham. He had everything you could want. He had tons of money. He had tons of land. He had people following him, like a whole town of people around him. That means he probably had a lot of influence, right? Like in modern day, he had more followers, more likes, more whatever you could think of that makes somebody important. That was Abraham. But there was one thing the Bible says he had that was missing. You know what that is? A son. Because it didn't matter how cool you were back then. Once your life was done, if you didn't have a child, if you didn't have a boy to take on your name, your legacy died with you. And Abraham had it all, but he just wanted one more thing. And in this story, we see that God requires Abraham to step out in faith, and his whole life changes. So in Genesis chapter 12, this is what it says. Now the Lord said to Abram, his name's not Abraham yet. This is before Abraham's life took a bit of a turn. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred. Go from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you and I will make your name so great that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and to him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I want every single part of that. I want God to bless those who bless me. Like you're for me. You like me? All right, God, sprinkle a little blessing on this guy. Come on, take him from an 07 Camry to 09. Come on, God, do what you do. You know, like the people that are on your side, I want God to be good to them. I want God to love them. I want all the people that are around me in my realm of influence to be feeling the love from God that he has shown to me. And those who dishonor you, Abram, I'll curse him. Now he's talking. Okay, God, blessing is cool, but this is the real deal. Anybody been cut off this week? Say no more. You're just like, hey, you know, runs out of gas on the highway. You're like, thanks God, my God, he's got me. Or like someone takes the last shopping cart at Sobeys. You're like, you know, I don't know what would happen. That would be not like morbid to say from the pulpit. But anyways, God would curse those who curse you. I want all of that except for the first part of that sentence we read, of that passage of scripture. Go to a land that I will show you. Where's that? I'll show you. Oh, you want to give me like a little hint? No. Okay. How about is it north? I'll show you. How about west? I just want to tell some people in case they ask some questions. I'll show you. Go to a land that I will show you. Abraham had a promise from God, but he had no destination in mind. You'd have to be crazy to go. You know what this is like? This is like your phone's dead, you're driving, no GPS, and you're downtown St. Catharines. That's exactly what this is like. Yeah, any St. Catharines people know, like, yeah, brother, you're speaking my language now. Like it's an old city, you know, 100 years or whatever, so they didn't have straight roads yet, obviously. And one ways were like cutting edge technology. Like, Abraham is lost. He has no idea. And stay in Genesis 12, but in Hebrews 11, the author goes a little deeper into this situation. And he says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. I want to tell you this morning that your faith won't grow unless you decide to go. For real though. For real. Your faith won't get any bigger than it is right now if you're too comfortable sitting right there. If you're too comfortable staying where you are in life, your faith will stay exactly where it is. I can't promise you that you're going to see anything else or that you'll go anywhere else or that your life will get any better or worse. All I know is that God honors when we step out in faith. Abraham didn't make it to the book of Hebrews in the hall of faith. You know, like there's his poster walking through the hallway. Cool. There's his cane. You know, look, there's a picture of him with his son that God promised. He didn't make it to that hall if he said, you know what, God, I'm in, but I need the address just in case. I need to know exactly where you're taking me just because I trust you and all, but not that much. Okay. Like, God, I need you to have to meet me halfway here. He doesn't get to the hall of faith that way. He gets to the hall of faith when he says, okay, cool. Yeah, I don't need to know. No, it's fine. I trust you. Your faith won't grow if you're not willing to go. So are you willing to go this morning? I remember 3 years ago, 3 years this August, my wife and I moved here from Alberta. And this is by far, as a couple, the best decision we've ever made. I mean, actually, you know what? Like having a baby, I think that would be definitely number one. But what I mean, like when it comes to marital decisions, moving, where we're going to live, what we're going to do. Moving to Lake Mount, to Ontario, hands down, best decision we ever made. Am I glad we did it? Yes. Was it easy? Not a chance. I get a call from a man that I've met like twice in my life, and I just feel like I'm supposed to say yes. I mean, that's cool and all, but I have no idea where I'm going to live. I have no idea what this church is like. I don't know if you people are nice. You are, by the way, just so you know. But I don't know. And we didn't know. We were so comfortable in Alberta. I had a great job. She was working in a great school system and life was good. But I knew that if we were going to progress as a family, that if God was going to take us from where we were to where we needed to go, it required some faith. I was praying with a junior high student a couple months ago at the altar, and he was just crying. And sometimes you preach messages that are on one thing, and then they're up like getting prayer for something that's not even close. But that's cool. That's why I love youth ministry. And I was praying for this kid, and I'm like, buddy, like, it wasn't at our church. I got invited to speak somewhere. I said, hey, what can I pray for you about? And he's bawling his eyes out at like 13. And I'm like, what's wrong? Like, was it about what I was preaching on? He's like, no, I keep having this dream from God that I'm supposed to go downtown and hand this one man a Bible. I was like, cool, well, you should go. He's like, you don't understand. I've had this dream like every month since I was 11 and I still hadn't done it. Like this dream in an 11, 12, 13-year-old boy was just plaguing him because he realized at a young age that he had limited what God could do in his life if he wasn't willing to step out. Now that's a young boy who's really, really learning to hear the voice of God at a young age. But that's still so applicable to where we are now. Your business. What has God told you to do? What has God asked you to trust him with that you've kind of held back? I mean, the Bible only says 10% God, so sorry, it's in your book. Like, what is there that God has said, hey, trust me with that you've been like, you know what, I can't do it. What relationship have you been in that you know you're supposed to get out of and God has been asking you forever and you're not progressing because you're not willing to make an awkward conversation happen? God wants to bless you and he wants to stretch you and he wants to build faith in you, but it requires you making that first move. Abraham, yeah, are you ready for more? Yeah, you're gonna have to do more. Okay, let's go. So where is God calling you? Where are you looking and where is God calling you? Because that is what's going to grow you. Right. Yeah. That's where your faith is going to be stretched. Faith doesn't always have to know where you're going. Faith is just satisfied knowing the one who's calling. With Abraham, it wasn't about the end goal. It was about the meantime of hearing from God. I can just see him getting up every morning. Hey, God? Yeah, I'm still here. Okay, good. Hey, God, what are we doing today? Oh, we're going to go here today. Perfect. I don't know where you're taking me, but I trust you today. It was a daily decision to follow God's voice. It wasn't about where he was going. If faith was about what we get out of it, we'd be so concerned about attaining things, and we wouldn't worry with hearing him daily. We'd be more worried with getting things and not knowing him more. The reward of faith is finding God. And he wants to be found this morning. So let's turn to Matthew 14. Let's go into the New Testament now. A little more recent. Not by much, but still definitely for us today and applicable. Matthew 14, we read of that knucklehead named Peter. Might as well just insert your name into the story. He's just like us. Come on, let's be real. I want to always be like, you know, I really resonate with John. He was such a touchy-feely guy and just knew the heart of God. But most times I'm like slicing people's ears off. You know, I'm just like angry and ready to go to town, man. Old Petey boy. Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. When he dismissed the crowds, and after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Jesus just found out that John the Baptist is dead now. So I can imagine Jesus is sad that he's feeling it, definitely. So he goes up to a mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he came down, and he was all by himself. But the boat at this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was dead set against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and they said, look, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart, it's me. Do not be afraid. It's me, Jesus. And Peter answered to him, Lord, if it's really you, command me to come out on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he began to be afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and all those on the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. I don't understand the entire Bible. Actually, there's a lot of it I don't understand. I just take God at his word. I really don't know why Jesus walked on water to get out there. I mean, it's a cool story. It's fun to preach. Pastor Matt always says, I think it's probably just the quickest way to the boat, if we're being honest. I don't get it, but I love it. And this story resonates with me a lot. Because Peter, you need to know, had seen Jesus do some pretty amazing things. Matthew 14 says, we're pretty much halfway through the gospel at this point. Not everything is in chronological order, but for the most part it is. Meaning by Matthew 14, Peter had seen Jesus do some pretty gnarly things. Like they were fishing one day and Jesus calls out, hey, why don't you throw your nets on the other side? They're like, okay, if you say so. And they couldn't bring all the fish in. There were so many. Jesus was in a boat sleeping, and Peter and the disciples are upstairs, and they go and they kick the seat cushion Jesus is on. They're like, hey, don't you care we're gonna die? And he gets up and he's like, peace, be still. And all of a sudden it's calm, and they're like, wow. Like Jesus had done crazy things, but in nature and with fish. Peter wasn't like totally foreign to this kind of situation. He saw Jesus raise Jairus' daughter. He saw people sneaking miracles out of Jesus' pant leg when he's walking through crowds. Yet Peter is just like me in this scenario because even though he'd seen amazing things, he still had trouble believing. Even though the resume of what Jesus had done in front of Peter's very eyes was amazing, Peter still got out of the boat and sunk somehow. Now, I like to read this and be like, you idiot, but I know I would have done the same thing. I know a lot of us would have done the same thing. We would have got out and seen Jesus. The gaze of our soul would have been at a saving God that we had seen work before. But as soon as the first wave hit my knee, I probably would have looked away. As soon as the wind became a little contrary, I know I would have just kind of out of my peripherals looked to see what else was coming, and I would have sunk just like that. Paul writes to the Galatian church in Galatians 3. He says, "You foolish Galatians," aka you idiots. "Who has bewitched you? Who tricked you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." Meaning what? They had seen Christ in the flesh. They had seen him work miracles, and then they saw him crucified on a cross. And the Bible says these Galatians and their whole church, their small group went back to just the Old Testament way of doing things. As soon as it was silent for a minute, they thought, I guess this isn't working. I guess it isn't as easy as Jesus said it was going to be. All that was great when he was right here, but now that he's gone, I don't know if this is still possible. The minute Peter looked away from Jesus was the very moment he began to sink. Now I asked you earlier, where are you looking? What are you focusing on? And I know this could be simple. If you've been in church forever, you've heard this story. But what waves and what wind in your life right now is taking your gaze off of Jesus and making you focus on everything else? Is it financial stuff? Money's not too big for Jesus. Is it a business that looks like it's going to go under and you don't know how you're going to get out of it? Is it a relationship that you have fought for so many years, but now it's like, man, I think we've really just come to the end of this race and we should part ways? Is it a relationship that you think is out of the reach of what Jesus can do? Is it a family member? I mean, what about a prodigal son or daughter? Or a brother or sister, someone that is in a few countries over and there are a few bad decisions too far gone for Jesus? Is it something like that? Because whatever that wind and those waves are, I'm telling you this morning that it's not too big for the saving power of Jesus Christ. And that if you would step out of the boat and say, you know what, I'm going to go for this one. I'm going to have faith in this situation. God would turn that situation all the way around. That a complete 180 could happen this morning on Father's Day 2017 if you would say, you know what, I'm ready to give it one more try. I hear you calling, but even though I don't know where you're calling me, I'm going to go. I see you calling me out, and to be honest, I almost feel like Peter was just saying what he knew he was supposed to say, and then Jesus called his bluff. Okay, big guy, let's go. I mean, I expect Jesus to be like, no, that's not necessary. I'm God. Quiet you, waves, wind. But in the middle of the storm, Jesus says, okay, come out. Now this morning, God wants to have a fresh download of faith come right from heaven, right into you. He wants to take that circumstance that you're thinking of right now, that thing you're trying to suppress, the thing you're trying to hide. He wants to shine light on it and show you that it's not too big for him. That relationship that is so broken and so tattered, it's not out of his reach this morning. You just got to have faith. You just got to take your gaze off whatever you've been staring at, whatever you've been focusing on, and begin to focus on the saving power of Jesus Christ. You need to fix your eyes on who Jesus promises in the scriptures that he is, and take it off of whatever has brought you temporary pleasure, whatever has brought you temporary numbing of that pain. Whatever relationship, whatever addiction, whatever substance that has taken over for the meantime, Jesus is saying, focus back on me and I'll take care of all of it. Life is too short to just hope that at the end you get into heaven. It's so funny that we have faith for everlasting life, but we often don't have enough faith to see someone healed. We have faith to live forever with Jesus, but we don't have faith to tell that one person about him and see their whole life changed. This morning, God is saying, son, daughter, let's change it. Let's turn it around. In the middle of the storm, in the middle of your wandering, he's speaking. I've heard it said like this, that fear is just faith in everything but Jesus. So this morning, I want to pray. If you'd close your eyes with me. First off, if you're saying, that's me, I'm so fearful right now. I'm scared it's not going to work out the way I thought it would. I'm just so nervous that this is all going to break, that God got me this far, but I don't know if I can go further. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you. You've just been overtaken by fear. Thank you. You have fixed your eyes on things that are not Christ, not what he says about himself. Thank you. Wow. Any more people? I want to give a few more minutes. If you are just overtaken by fear, the storm's too big, you can't even find Jesus right now, just raise your hand. Thank you. Awesome. This morning, if you're hearing me speak about Jesus, if you're hearing this word proclaimed and you're saying, man, I think that's the missing piece. Maybe you've tried things, people, substances, nothing's worked, but you're saying, man, I think Jesus is the answer. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. That wherever you came from, however long you've lived, however long you've just been searching, today is your day for salvation. That if you would confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If that's you, will you raise your hand? You want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Thank you. Oh, thank you. Anybody else? Today's the day. I want to make God the boss. I want to put him at the top again. And while we're on this, if you have wandered, you've made that decision, but then things and circumstances have turned life in a way you never thought it would go, and you were in love with Christ, but now you've wandered. Today's your day to come back home. If that's you, you say, I want to come back home to the Father's house. Would you raise your hand? Awesome. Oh, come on. Anybody else? Yeah, I see that hand. And lastly, if you're here this morning and you're saying, it's time to look at Jesus again. It's time to direct my focus on the saving God in the midst of whatever hell you're going through. If today's the day you say, I need to refocus, I want you to raise your hand right now. I want to pray with you. Awesome. Yeah. Wow. You want to look at Jesus again. You've had faith in all the wrong things. You've been so overtaken by fear. Today is your day. Yeah. Let's all stand this morning. I'm going to invite the prayer team to come to the front. We're going to dismiss in just a few minutes, but I want to leave room that if you want prayer for anything, if you have faith and you're believing for a miracle, we want to agree with you up here at the front. But if that's you one more time, I just want you to raise your hands and you want to receive that faith this morning. You want a fresh download of faith. Just open up your hands like you're going to receive something. Heavenly Father, we declare that today is a day of divine turnaround. We declare in Jesus' name that there is no situation that is too far from your sight. We turn our gaze to the saving power of Jesus Christ. And Father, for that relationship, that circumstance, that business, that family member, Father, we ask in Jesus' name that today would be a day of turnaround. Father, we ask for a fresh download of faith to believe again, to know that you are a good God and the plans you have for us are way better than the plans we had for ourselves, God. We choose to turn away from the things that we've been chasing. And God, we open ourselves up for a fresh download of faith this morning. Come on, if that's you, just begin to start praying. Begin to start asking God, say, God, I need faith. I need you to come right now, Father. This circumstance is too big. Just begin to speak out. Just begin to pray in your own words. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and you would intercept what the enemy has been trying to take the wrong way. God, what the enemy meant for evil, God, we declare that you're going to use it for good in Jesus' name. Father, where you've been calling us, we're standing up and we're going. Father, we ask right now that you would give us a divine download of faith, the ability to believe again in who you say that you are and what you say you can do. So Father, we give you everything. We say that there's nothing that you need to take your hands off of. But Father, we open ourselves up this morning just to lay it all at your feet. God, I pray that you'd bless every person that came this morning. God, I ask that we wouldn't be too proud or we wouldn't be too naive. that we would focus back on you, God, and that the things that seemed like they were just going the wrong direction would turn around because we believe in you again, because we have faith in the saving power of Jesus Christ. God, I pray blessing over families, over businesses. I ask in Jesus' name that things that looked like they were going south would be turned around in Jesus' name, and that your blessing would flow, God. And God, for those people that are just having a tough time believing in who you say you are, God, I pray that you would give a fresh revelation that you're a good God and that your plans and your promises are yes and amen. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for coming to church today. We love you. If you want prayer for anything, come to the front. If you want a download of faith, if you have something you're praying for healing for, come forward. We'd love to pray with you, but you guys are dismissed. Have an awesome Father's Day. Enjoy the barbecue and the hangs around the table. We love you, dads, but if anyone wants prayer, come to the front. We'd love to meet you and pray and agree with you. Have an awesome Sunday, you guys.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.